have this day of life because God has sustained us through another night and blessed us to be able to be here to worship Him in spirit and truth. I'm encouraged to be here. I appreciate mentioning me in the prayers, and the song service was just really, really good. Bella, as always, did a very good job, and you did such a good job in blending your voices together as we sing praise unto God. Appreciate you being here, especially those that are visiting with us. Some we've not got to see in a while. We appreciate you being here, and we hope that you'll come back and be with us at every opportunity you have. I'm thankful to again be able to be with you to share just a portion of God's Word. Before I start, I want to say two things very quickly. One is, if you've not signed up for preacher training, I encourage you to do that. We've got a good number of guys that have signed up, and all this on an individual basis. I talked with a fellow that's a preacher in Missouri, and he's going to try to send six guys from a program that he does in Missouri to the program. If he does, that'd put us close to 35 already. And so I encourage you to come and to be with us. It'll be the first full week of June, and if you say, preacher, I'm not one to be a preacher, well, come and learn how to put together sermons and how to teach others better. And so it'll be a good week, and appreciate the individuals that have chipped in making that possible for all these guys from a lot of different states to come and be with us. A fellow from Alabama called me a couple of weeks ago, or maybe three, and he said, Donnie, could the men use some books in the training program this year? Some good resource material. I said, absolutely. He said, there's a retired preacher that's getting rid of a lot of his material, and we'd like to buy those books for the guys this year. And that was encouraging to me, and so we'll go this week and pick a load of those books up. And so you need to come and take advantage of that. But I also want to encourage you to come to a meeting in April over at Logwood in Perry County. I'll be preaching on a Thursday night, and Brother Mark is going to be preaching on Friday night, and a fellow from Perry County will be preaching on Saturday night. Try to come if you can, especially on Friday night. Come and listen to Brother Mark as he teaches, and they're looking forward to that, and I am too. I wrote on the board this morning, ye are. The phrase ye are appears a good number of times in the Bible, a whole lot of times. And you could come up with a good list of things that the Bible says that ye are. And sometimes the Bible says on the negative of that, ye are not. And so it's a good study to think about some things that the Bible says we are and some things that the Bible says we're not. I encourage our young people to know who God says you are. And I encourage you to obey the gospel this morning. If you're here this morning, you're not a Christian today, not yesterday, it's gone. And not tomorrow, it may never be. Today is the day that you need to take care of that. You need to come forward in just a little while as we stand and sing about the Glory Land Way, which is a song that I love very much. You need to come and make yourself ready for the Glory Land Way if you're not a Christian this morning. But I say that to say this, because a lot of times our young people think, especially when it's about time to leave the home and to go out and go to college, get a job, go to the military, whatever it is you choose to do. A lot of our young people many times think, this is a time I need to go out and find myself. I suggest to all of us, you need to know who you are before you leave home. That'll save you from having to go out and find out who you are. Because who you think you are when you get out there in the world may not be who God wants you to be. And so I want us to think about, ye are, who are you? If you're a child of God, you need to think very seriously about all of the things that I'm going to share for just a little while this morning as we think about who we are. And the first one I want to share with you comes from the book of Matthew chapter 5 in the great Sermon on the Mount. Nothing difficult about the things I'm going to share with you this morning. I think I've got 16 on the list, and I might share half of them with you this morning. And you ought to come back tonight and listen to the rest of them, or I might go in a different direction tonight. I don't know yet. But think about who you are. In Matthew chapter 5 and in verse 13, Jesus said, talking to the disciples, ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. Now, obviously, the Lord's not saying your literal table saw. But He's talking about the influence, the ability that they had to make an impact on those that were around them. And we need to understand that we have the ability to influence for good, or we have the ability to influence in a negative way. The Lord says, you're the salt of the world. I'm telling you, you think that the world is in a chaos state right now? The further we get away from God and His Word, the worse it will be. I tell you, the two fronts that we have, if we have a hope in our world today, is the home and the church. I understand God is the answer, His Word is the answer, Christ is the answer, but the home and the church, especially if you have children, that's our defense, the home and the church. And we can't overemphasize that enough. We can't emphasize that enough. Then He goes on to say, you are the light of the world. I'm combining these two for the first point. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Obviously, you've probably been driving sometime. I remember going out west, and we were way in the distance, and so far from us, you could see the lights of the city, and it was miles and miles and miles away, but it was so flat. But you think about what the Lord is saying, that you are a light that is in the world. And He's making the statement, a city that is on a hill cannot be hid. Did you realize you're the salt and the light of the world? Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. You see, if you light a candle, or you turn on a flashlight, and you put it under a bucket or a bowl, you cover it up, you destroy its impact on its surroundings. And so the Lord says, to sum that up in verse 16, let your light so shine. I love it when little children sing this song, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. You need to let your light shine, little ones, middle-aged ones, teenagers, and all the way up to the older ones we have among us, the most mature and wisest among us, all the way up to in their 90s now. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. That's the point. Let your light so shine before men, not that men might brag on you, not that men might pat you on the back, not that men might exalt you, but that men may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Right into Timothy, Paul said in 1 Timothy 4:12, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in faith and charity and so forth. And so Timothy was younger than Paul, and I don't know by how much, but he was younger, 1 Timothy 1:2 and 2 Timothy 1:2. And Paul refers to him as my own son in the faith. But regardless of his age, he had youth on his side from the text. And Paul says, don't let anyone despise thy youth. And there's a number of ways in which folks will despise an individual's youth. Paul says, don't let it be so. Sometimes people look at young people as though they have nothing to contribute. That's not so. We are blessed at Mill Street with such a good number of young people. And people who are young and involved and do such a good job. And you have value. You have worth. Think about on the Lord's table this morning. The young guys that served on the Lord's table, Ray presided over, did such a good job. Those that teach Bible classes and preach and lead in prayer and read scripture reading, as Alex did this morning, did a very good job, by the way, Alex. In fact, Tracy looked at me and she said, you should have let him read more. I said, he could if he wanted to. By the way, always feel free if I give you one reference, read more if you want to. It's okay. But we're blessed with young people. And they do have value. They do contribute. They are worth a lot. And we need to encourage them. One fellow said, it's not fair. Life is not fair. He was a preacher. He's dying gone now. He said, life is not fair. When I was young and thought I knew it all, nobody wanted to listen. Now that I'm old and I don't know what everybody thinks that I need to know, they want to know what I think about everything. Life is not fair. We're thankful for our young people. But he says, let no man despise thy youth. And young people, don't give folks occasion to despise thy youth. Behave yourself in a way that is right in the sight of God. And that's not confined to just young people. But also he goes on to say in Matthew chapter 10 for another point, as you think about ye are. The Lord said in Matthew chapter 10 and in verse 31. You know, there's a lot of things that you might be worried about. What about my clothes? What am I going to put on? Where am I going to lay my head? What am I going to eat? Well, the Lord addresses that in Matthew chapter 10. In Matthew chapter 10 and begin with verse 32. Let's go back to verse 29 rather. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Don't fear, ye are of more value than many sparrows. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will also confess before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. I think sometimes we use Matthew 10, 32 and 33, and we don't think about the context that is surrounding that very important point that he's saying, that we must confess that he is the Son of God. But he makes the point, you're of more value than the sparrows, many sparrows, he says. And when you take that, going back to the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6, he says, beginning with verse 30, or 28 rather, why take ye thought for raiment or your clothes? You worried about what you're going to wear? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. Here it is, springtime. The flowers are starting to come up, the Easter lilies come up, and other things are beginning to bloom. You see the beauty of it. Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, there's some words that your ears ought to perk up when you see. Therefore, wherefore, for, whatsoever, and words like that. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You put God first in your life and God will take care of you. He'll provide. Amen. Now that doesn't mean seek God and say, I'm going to obey the gospel and be lazy. But do what God would have you to do. And God will take care of you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow. For the morrow shall take thought of the things of itself. Sufficient to the day is the evil thereof. In Mark 8, 36 and 37. If you gain the whole world and lose your own soul, what did it profit you? What would a man give in exchange for his soul? If you were to gather up all of the goods on the top side of God's green earth, and all of them were placed into your bank account, and you lost your soul come the judgment day, you'd get cheated. Your soul is the most valuable thing that you possess. Ye are of more value than many sparrows. In John chapter 15, where we spent some time with the Bible class this morning, the Lord talking to the apostles said this, ye are clean. There's our phrase, ye are. Ye are clean through the word or by the word that I've spoken unto you. Don't underestimate the value of God's word and how powerful God's word is. I think about Hebrews chapter 4 when I think about the power of God's word. Hebrews chapter 4 and in verse 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful. Where quick means living, it's alive, it's not a dead letter. For the word of God is quick, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You look into the perfect law of liberty and you'll see just who you are. James chapter 1, verse 25. God's word is powerful. Powerful enough to clean the soul of man. You are clean through the word that I've spoken unto you. Powerful enough to purify the heart, seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that you love one another fervently with a pure heart. 1 Peter chapter 1 and in verse 22. Powerful enough to save an individual. Romans chapter 1 verse 16 and 1 Corinthians 15 verses 1 and 2. And powerful in a lot of other ways. You are clean through the word that I've spoken unto you. I hope you never tire of book, chapter, verse, Bible preaching and teaching. I hope that as you listen to the gospel being preached, that you just cannot get enough book, chapter, verse, Bible preaching. Sometimes people think, it's just too much Bible. Just gives too many references. You think I've ever encouraged someone to cut some references out of their sermon? Not so. You use as many as you want to. Now, granted, if you're speaking to people who believe that the Bible is the Word of God, one or two will get the job done. That don't mean you're confined to one or two. On my outlines, I usually put A and B, maybe one, two passages, maybe three, and that's it. I might say more in the sermon. If you're talking to people who do not believe that that the Bible is the Word of God, 50 will never be enough. We talked about this morning from Psalm 119, Thy Word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. I'm thankful for God's Word, and we need to spend more time, not less time, but more time reading it, studying it, and meditating upon it. When you leave here today, by the way, don't let it be till next week before you think about God's Word again. Don't let a week go by that you didn't read His Word and consider what His Word says. But make that a part of your daily lives. Every day, meditate on the Word of God. Psalm 1, verses 1 and 2. But here's another point. Romans chapter 6 and then verse 16. You know, in the context of this, as we've talked about recently, He's talking, of course, He's writing to people who had obeyed the gospel of Christ. That's apparent from Romans chapter 1, verse 7. He's writing to them in Romans chapter 6, and He talks about the fact that they had obeyed the gospel. They had obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Christ, being raised to walk in newness of life. And He says in Romans chapter 6, and in verse 16, these words, Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, His servants ye are, to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. I want to go back to verse 16 as you think about that. We had ye are in that verse. But in verse 16, know ye not that to, or 15 rather, what then shall we sin? Because we are not under the law but under grace, God forbid. Now, I mentioned to you recently that Romans can be hard from the standpoint of knowing what law he's referring to many times. Like in Romans chapter 7, he talks about the law. You are discharged from the law. Or the law hath dominion over a wife as long as her husband lives. In this context, he's talking about the law of Moses. I know so because he says in verse 14, For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law but under grace. The world in which we live in today, we've got to stop and qualify that for people. Because they think that we're not under any law at all whatsoever. And that's not so. They say, well, the Old Testament Jews were under the law of Moses. And we know that that is so, because John chapter 1 and verse 17 talks about that. And so when we point out that the law of Moses was done away with, and I'll talk more about that in just a moment, they think, okay, then we're not under any law today whatsoever. We're under grace. Are we under grace? I just read that to you, Romans chapter 6, verse 14. Yes, we're under grace, but that does not mean that we're not under any law. We're not under the law of Moses. We are under law because we're under the law of Christ. As I pointed out many times to you, Galatians chapter 6 and then verse 2. I just mentioned to you a moment ago from James chapter 1 verse 25, the perfect law of liberty. James 1 and verse 25. So we are under law, but not the law of Moses. The law of Moses, ladies and gentlemen, it's true. There's no doubt about that. Sometimes when people hear us say that we're not under the law of Moses, that somehow we're discrediting the law of Moses. That it wasn't true, that it wasn't from God. That's not so. It is true. It did come from God. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. There's no doubt about that in 1 Peter chapter 1, 20 and 21. No prophecy of Scripture is given of private interpretation for holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Yes, it came from God. And it was good to the sufficient to the purpose for which it was given. The law was given to restrain the people. Paul talks about that in Romans chapter 7. I had not known sin except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. It was given till the seed should come. Galatians chapter 3 and in verse 19, it was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ. It was given till the seed should come, and the seed is identified earlier in Galatians chapter 3 as being Christ. So the law was given till Christ came. Amen. All of that in Galatians chapter 3. So that when Paul wrote to those at Colossae, the church of Christ at Colossae, he said, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. Colossians 2 and in verse 14. And we are discharged, delivered from it, according to Romans chapter 7. Was it true? Yes. And it was nationalistic, by the way, which is very important to understand. It was never given to everybody. It was given to the Old Testament Jews. Wasn't given to the Gentile people, but to the Jews, because it was through their seed that the Savior of the world was going to come. And so God separated them from all the nations of the earth. And Christ came, who is a seed of David, seed of Abraham, making our salvation possible. We're under the perfect law of liberty. It's the New Testament, by the way. Hebrews 8, 9, and 10, the New Testament that will be judged by when the Lord comes again. Romans 2 and in verse 16, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. So, you need to know the New Testament. Study the old too, but not to the neglecting of the new. But also in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 23, Paul writes to the church of Christ at Corinth, and he says, ye are... That's the phrase we're capitalizing on. Ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God. And he also stated that earlier in the book in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Bought with a price. In 1 Peter chapter 1, the Bible talks about being redeemed not with corruptible seed, but with incorruptible by the word of God. Being redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 18. Take heed to yourselves and to the flock over the which the Holy Spirit hath made you overseers to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. No wonder Paul could write, you are bought with a price. One more point. In Galatians chapter 3 and in verse 26. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, free nor bond, male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. When he says, ye are all the children of God by faith, you know who he's talking to? people that had obeyed the gospel. That's who he's writing the book of Galatians to, the churches of Christ in Galatia, an area with different congregations of God's people. It doesn't mean different denominations, but different congregations of churches of Christ. And he says, ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Well, how on earth did they get into Christ? How did they become children of God by faith in Christ Jesus? For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. You may be here this morning, not a child of God by faith in Christ Jesus. You're not in Christ. Don't you want to be a child of God? Beautiful day that God has blessed us with. I can think of nothing better to become on a day like today than a child of God. Preacher, what must I do to become a Christian? Well, it's no different than what they did in New Testament times to become a Christian. And though the world may stand for 2,000 years or more from now, folks who are becoming Christians will be doing the same thing again as they are today, as they were in the first century. Here in the Gospel, Romans 10:17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? We must, if we want to go to heaven, John 8:24. We must repent of our sins. Repent and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, and the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Acts 3:19. Confess your faith in Christ that He is the Son of God, Acts 8:37. And be baptized for the remission of sins, Acts 2:38. See how simple that is? And not a thing difficult to understand about it. You might say, preacher, it's difficult to do, only if you let it be difficult. God didn't make it difficult. Most of you have done that this morning. But suppose there be one here this morning who's obeyed the gospel, but along life's way they became unfaithful and you've not been living as you should. And you want to straighten up and cut out your foolishness and disobedience and do what God would have you to do. You have opportunity to do that. Repent of your unfaithfulness. Make confession of God in prayer. Acts 8, 1 John 1:9. God will restore you. We'll pray with you and for you. You'll have every reason to say, I'm the glory land away. You're on your way to heaven. Come right now as together we stand and sing.